maybe not on that particular day, I'm always reminded of something that I read, and I'd like to share it with you briefly. It was about a little girl staring into a window of a jewelry store, and there was nothing else in there except a cross. And it was not a really ornate, but it was a beautiful cross. And as she approached the window to look at the cross, there was a man who was standing there before her, and he was staring at it. And as he looked at it, she was standing there, and she was one of those people who love the Lord, and she was not afraid to tell people about it. She was just a little tyke, maybe 8, 9 years old. And she looked at the man, and she said, "Isn't it beautiful?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you know what happened on the cross?" And she just brightened up, and she told him, she said, "Yes." She said, "God's son, Jesus, was crucified and hung there and died on that cross." And the man looked at her, and he said, "You're right." And he turned to walk away, and as he was walking down the street, suddenly he heard the patter of little feet, and he heard this voice saying, "Hey, mister, mister, mister." And he turned around, and when he turned around, it was a little girl, and he turned around, and he knelt down. He said, "What is it? What is it? What's wrong?" She said, "Nothing. I just wanted to tell you." He rose again. He didn't stay dead. And when I look at a cross, not a crucifix, a cross, that's one of the things I think about. He's not there anymore. It was once for all. Sinner, receive it. Once for all, brother, believe it. He's alive. Tonight, as we think about going into Christmas and Christmas Eve, I received these this week, and I thought to myself, they gave me encouragement, and I think it's only fair that I share them with you. I won't give you these men's names, but remember, all of us don't get to decide where we're going for Christmas. We don't all get to say who's going to come eat dinner with us, and we don't all get to go down to the stores and buy gifts for our family or friends or children. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. There are some who cannot do that. As a matter of fact, across the state of Texas, there are thousands, tens of thousands, who can't do that. For whatever reason, the crimes that they've been convicted of has caused them to be locked away, incarcerated, and justly so. But still, they are people. They have souls. They have families. They have concerns. And for me, my dealings with most of those that I've dealt with has been rewarding once I overcame my obstinacy about preaching and ministering in a prison. And this is the first time I've done this, but I want you to hear these words. "Pastor Nichols, I'm truly sorry that I missed your last visit at the Ellis Unit on 10 December 2019. I pray for you as you're going through your sickness, and I'm asking Jesus for your healing, strength, and comfort. By far, you are my favorite volunteer at this unit. The words you speak remind me of Jesus' love. The stories you tell are so entertaining. But you're a citizen of heaven just passing through earth. What you teach leaves a mark on my heart. I love you for that. I have made parole and will be leaving this unit soon. Thank you." I have his name and all of that information on here, so I'm not making these up. And then there's this one, and it's both of these are accompanied by a Christmas card. And then there's this one that I want to share with you. "Pastor Nichols and Cook Springs Church, grace, peace, and love from God the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Greetings. Merry Christmas to all of you and a Happy New Year. I'm writing all of you as one body, a church, to say thank you for taking good care of your pastor and for allowing all of us to be a part of all of you. I can't tell you how much it means to myself, as well as all the brothers in Christ and the whole unit, for your prayers, your contributions, your time. Please know that all of you are loved and in our prayers. However, I would like to make special mention and honor those men and women whose courage and love allowed them to come inside these prison walls to fellowship, encourage, and lift our spirits through songs and praises to God. Sister Janet Murray, Teresa Jose, Barbara, there's others I'm sorry I didn't mention, but your love and faithfulness are not forgotten. There's many men, women, and society that has written us off, but not Cook Springs. Thank you. I pray more of you will be moved to come and be a part of us as we worship and glorify our God and Savior Jesus. Regardless if you never come and only pray for us, thank you. My prayer is that God will bless each of you to prosper, grow closer in your relationship to Jesus, and give God much thanks for that shepherd he placed over each of you. So God bless each and every one of you and your families this very special Christmas day. Love in Christ. And I have his name and his address here. When I read things like this, I remember that years ago when I was invited to participate and come into the prison and ministry, I refused to do so. I refused to do so because out of the ignorance of my heart, I just felt like that wasn't my thing. That's not something I ought to be doing. I don't want to be inside walls and hear the door slam and all the other things that you imagine that are in there. But it just shows you that what God has for you may not be what you think he has for you. But that what he has for you, if you'll follow, there are blessings to be had. Not just a blessing for you, but you being a blessing to others. I have a file in my office with every correspondence letter that I've received from over there. And some of them move me to tears as I read them. Not because they don't deserve to be where they are, but because in reality, we're all the same. That is, sinners in need of a Savior. And if prison affords the opportunity to slow a man's life down long enough where the Spirit of the Lord, godly preaching, anointed preaching and teaching, and the ministry of volunteers can lead just one to Jesus, then it's my firm conviction that every song we practice, folks, all you volunteers, every effort we make, even when we're turned away for governmental snafus, your help to me so that we can provide them with worship tools, your support of me, which allows me to do that, I believe it's all worthwhile. I am glad, I am thrilled at times that God has allowed Cook Springs Baptist Church to be such a part of what goes on over there. You do not realize the respect and the love that group has for Cook Springs Baptist Church. You just can't imagine it. And it's because I think that they sincerely understand that we care about their souls. We care about what they're going to do if they get out, because some of them will not. We care about what they're going to do and where they're at. You know, in being there since 2015, many of the people, the men that I've met, they transfer them and move them quite a bit. And when that happens, I lose track of them. But every now and then I get a letter, and I'm able to place a face with it to remember who it was. It may not be personal to you, but it's personal to me, and I think it's personal to God that we minister in prisons. The Bible tells me so. And taking that tact and believing that God's word is more important than my opinion or your opinion or anybody else's opinion, if we're going to be a New Testament church, Jesus himself admonishes us to visit. To visit. To visit doesn't just mean show up and wave. It means to bring the joy, the message, the word, and concern and care and sincere desire to see all men come to Jesus. They may never be freed physically, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, many of them, I believe, have been freed spiritually. I know there are those who are skeptical. I understand that. I'm not naive. I'm too old to be naive. I've been married too long to be naive, okay? But I also believe there are those men who have made it worthwhile for this church and your pastor and these volunteers to go over there and sing and preach. We're different. They see it. They recognize it. They embrace it. We're not better. We're just different. We believe what we preach. We believe the songs we sing, and it makes a difference for them. So when you get home, and I'm not going to preach tonight, just want to share this with you. When you get home and it's Christmas morning, remember, you have the possible or the means to be wherever just about you want to be. If you don't like somebody's cooking, you can get up and leave. But remember, there are thousands who have no choice. Maybe they deserve it. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just telling you, they are sinners, and so are we. They are human beings. Some of them may not act like it. I have never been treated any better in my life than I've been treated by the felons and the inmates at the Ellis Unit. They are kind to me. They are loving to me, just like this church is. When we arrive, there's always somebody there to say, "Brother Robert, do you want some water? Do you want some coffee? Can I bring you something?" If I stutter or stumble up there, they'll bring me a sweat towel and say, "Keep preaching." If I act like I'm thirsty, somebody will bring me something to drink. I don't know what it is, but they'll bring me something to drink. And they appreciate you. And I want you to know that I couldn't do this without you. And I want you to know that your efforts and your prayers mean a lot to that place. They've had a change in leadership over there, and it's making it difficult to do what we try to do. So I want you to pray. If they've had one change of leadership, they can have another change of leadership, or they can change the leadership's mind about church being there and the things that we do as a church to minister to them and support them. I know there are cynics. I know there are critics. Many of you, or some of you, work in prisons. I don't blame you for being cynical. If I was there every day, I might be cynical. I don't have to go every day. But I do get to go once a quarter, and I see a need. I see a cry. I see tears. I see hurt. I hear men begging God for forgiveness in that place. Some of them who know they're never going to get out, never walk away. I want to urge all of our young people to remember, don't do things like that, because that's not a place you're going to enjoy. If any of you young people are like me, I didn't like nobody telling me what time to go to sleep, what time to get up, what time to eat, what time to drink, what time to shower, what time to bathe, when I could go to the bathroom and when I couldn't. And that's what happens in those places. So if you think you wouldn't like that, the best thing to do is be the law-abiding, Jesus-loving, God-honoring citizen that we want you to be when you grow up. And we're not always going to be here to guide you. We only get so long to try to instill the values that God has instilled in us through our parents and through our loved ones. So as the song says, be good for goodness sake, but be good for your sake too, so that you're not there. But don't forget those people, men and women. Don't forget them. They need your prayers. They need Jesus just like we do. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is bringing Christ into that environment. I want to share with you a few verses of Scripture, and you'll have it for tonight. And there's a whole message that's with this, but you're not going to hear it tonight. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that is, before they ever had a sexual relationship, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not the church, not the pastor, not the pope, not the pontiff, not the bishop, not the evangelist. Only Jesus can save you from your sins. I pray that has happened in your life. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father God, tonight we honor and celebrate what the world will honor and celebrate in a couple of days. But Lord, in our hearts, make us thankful for Christmas. Lord, make us thankful for the reason for Christmas, that the miracle of God becoming flesh, of the Holy Ghost overshadowing a little girl, Father, placing himself in her, that the Son of God might be brought forth pure and holy, with no inheritance of sin, but still from Bethlehem and of the tribe of Judah, to fulfill every prophecy, Father. Not one prophecy of Jesus has not been fulfilled that we do not look forward to seeing fulfilled. The evidence is there, born of a virgin, a life of sinlessness, kindness, love, miracles. And yet, Father, there are those who still will not believe. Father, I wonder, is it because we do not evangelize enough? Is it because of Satan's influence? Is it because, Lord, that so many people have been hardened by the actions of so-called Christians? Or, Lord, are we just lazy? Have we forfeited, Father, the great commission to go and tell? I pray, God, that not be. I pray, Father, that you would instill in each of us a desire to share Jesus with everyone we come in contact with. And Father, I pray that as this Christmas season is celebrated, that sometime during that day, amid all the gifts, the wrapping paper, the food, the joy, the laughter, that we would pause for a few moments to remember the miracle that took place on that day. And the miracle, Lord, that Jesus, Son of God, would die so that we might live. Father, we love you, and we thank you. We ask you, O Lord, to bless our nation, bless our world. Keep us, Father, through this Christmas season, that we might come again on Sunday and celebrate and say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Would you stand?